right away.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, I'm here with Patrick Hearn, Vice President, Government IT Markets for Uber Third Technologies. How are you, Patrick?
Great, John. Thank you for having me back.
We've had you on the air once before, many, many moons ago, back when I was young and good-looking. everything's gone upside down in the last 3 or 4 years. That would bring me back in and talk more about this whole concept of HSPD-12 and PIV and identity cards and everything else. And before the show, I was remarking, I was saying that, you know, if you're a federal IT professional, you're listening to this show, and you work for a civilian agency, or even if you're an employee of any sort working for a civilian agency, there's a 99% chance you have an Oberthur card hanging from your neck right now.
That's pretty much the case, which is not so bad for us.
Yeah. So that's where you talk about that card that you have to use every single day. But before we make this big deep dive in the technology issues here, Patrick, tell us about your background and how you wound up working for Oberthur.
Sure. Thanks, John. I've been working for Oberthur, next week it'll be a total of 6 years, so I'm pretty pleased to be with the organization. Before that, I spent a lot of time working for the Thompson Corporation, and most recently, before I went over to Oberthur, I was focused on some special projects in terms of intelligence, I would say some background information on different countries, groups, etc.
Were you born in Canada?
Yes, I was, actually. Been living here in Washington since 2002, and no desire to go anywhere else.
You had a take there with that ization. You had that one little vowel there that was a giveaway. Everything else you can't tell. You know, I heard yesterday an interview with a hockey player. It was all over the place. I know he's from Canada. But you are much, much more subtle. You must be from Western Canada, is what I'm guessing.
Eastern, but I've done my best to get rid of my about.
yeah, you did pretty good at that. So we got Oberthur, O-B-E-R-T-H, where Sir sounds like a German company, but it's not, is it?
No, it's not. It actually has been in business for a short period of time, about 150 years.
Brand new company.
And it originally started in the eastern France in Alsace-Lorraine. And there was obviously a very large German-speaking population at the time.
Oh, yeah, Strasbourg.
Yes, that's correct. And after the first Franco-Prussian War, it moved to the western part of France. And it continued as a master printer. That was really where it started out. So it moved into things like banknotes, security printing. And even today, and it's not the Oberthur that I work for, is one of the largest producers of really nice calendars in France, which is kind of interesting.
But what's interesting is you make smart cards, but you also make money.
Yes, we do. In fact, we are one of the largest private providers of banknotes in the world for countries that don't have the capability to...
Yeah, not for America.
No, not for the United States. But, although we think we could probably help someday.
So let's see. So my wife and I go to France next summer. You can print us up some money there. How about it?
Sure,
can you do that?
Sure.
Sure,
not a problem. I'll get right on that one.
I'm sure as this is being recorded and heard all through the federal agencies that control that, that's just like way to have. Well, let's get a little more serious here and talk about Oberthur and our listeners, federal program managers, federal employees. So Oberthur has successfully competed and won a big percentage of the business for the federal market. It's 50% of DOD business for smart cards, 99% in the civilian. I mean, you're doing something that's right or lucky or I don't know. It must be a good product.
I think what it comes down to from our perspective is that we were really fortunate to be first to market in certified products in terms of the card manufacturing, but also we provided a really good option for federal agencies to act as a service bureau to personalize the smart cards. And when you're able to put that together from a cost perspective and from a service delivery, because our manufacturing facility is in Pennsylvania, our service center for the personalization is in all the way in Chantilly, Virginia, so very close for federal agencies to be able to get an understanding of what we do and how we do it. The business model itself makes it very clear. would you prefer a certified security environment whereby you can have a single stream, a chain of trust in manufacturing and personalization of these sorts of credentials and given to you, or do you wish to invest larger amounts of money in infrastructure in areas that, quite frankly, may not necessarily be a core competency of a federal agency? And this is one of the reasons why we're very lucky to be supporting the General Services Administration as part of their managed service offering, which supports over 83 federal agencies, the last time I checked, as well as a series of other agencies within the federal community.
So Oberth itself, billion-dollar company, offices all over the world, involved in the United States here, manufacturing facility in Exton, Pennsylvania. So you know, you at least have that 100-year tradition of a solid financial company, but local access as well.
Absolutely. We view ourselves as, and that is a premise to Oberth, is being close to the customer. We have over 30 service centers around the world that undertake this personalization, manufacturing centers around the world as well, be able to support large projects. And with that, a very well-deployed go-to-market team that is able to handle the projects on an ongoing basis. And one a good example of that is in the TWIC program, the Transportation Worker ID Credential Program. We are very lucky to have the honor to support in terms of manufacturing the card, but as well to be able to provide personalization software to support the agency in Corbin, Kentucky.
I had the privilege of spending some time with the GSA MSL office last week.
Oh, great.
Up there in Fairfax, and a great group of folks there, Larry Hale and a lot of folks on his team. And, you know, you get in one of these meetings, and all of a sudden it's this acronym and that acronym, and many of the people know them. It's a convenient way of saying things, like patois. But this program is on 50,000 watts. AM, it's going to a lot of different people. So what I'm going to do is, before we dive into these heavy acronyms, I'm going to slowly maybe define them and let our audience know. And then the federal people are going to have to just roll their eyes and go, well, everyone knows what PIV is. Well, not everyone does know. Or an HSPD-12. Well, you say that real fast. I don't even know what it is. So I'll give you my outsider's perspective on this. And maybe you can maybe act like you're speaking to your neighbor.
Sure.
Or maybe your neighbor's dog.
Mm-hmm.
More in my case. So it looks like in around 2005, we got something called HSPD-12, which was a security initiative, and the folks up at NIST, N-I-S-T, decided to come up with some recommendations from guidelines from that, how to implement that, and they came up with something called FIPS, F-I-P-S-201, and that's where Oberth has a very close, intimate knowledge of all three of these areas and how the card system interacts with all three of these security organizations. Is that right?
That's correct. The Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12 was really designed...
HSPD-12. For the people listening in gas stations in Bethesda.
That is true. It was really designed to deal with, in a post-9/11 world, how can you have a common system within the federal government where a credential presented can be recognized by another federal agency. This was designed only for federal employees and contractors over 6 months. It did not mean that just because the credential was recognized, it allowed you to get through the door, merely that it was an official credential. Beforehand, that was not the case within the United States federal government. You had agencies deploying their own credentials in their own way, shape, or form, and as a result, it was impossible to have any form of uniformity in recognition.
You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Patrick Hearn, Vice President Government ID Markets for Oberth Technologies. Before the break, we were going back and forth on HSPD-12 and NIST response and FIPS 201, a whole lot of security standards, but the whole concept of personal identity verification, PIV, on one hand, it seems kind of simple, but it's a very complex process. It's one of these things in life where it's simple but not easy, huh? I mean,
that
there's a lot
correct.
Going on here.
It's never simple to do identity management, that is for sure. And especially, it is not simple to do identity management in really high security environments, and that's exactly what the federal government requires. And that's a good thing, because when the barrier to entry is high, it means that others who wish to do ill would find it to be extraordinarily problematic. So having these, you know, these requirements, these regulations, these essentially processes that ensure interoperability help really ensure that at the end of the day that you have a suitable level of assurance and a level of trust between the federal agencies. And not just simply that, you also have an opportunity for organizations who are interacting with the federal government to know that that is exactly who you are dealing with.
You know, the federal program managers who are listening, they realize HSPD-12 is serious and important for everyone who works for the federal government. And there may be some people who are outside this environment, maybe people listening in Alexandria and scratch their head and go, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Well, if you pick a copy of Federal Computer Week, there is a cover called Identity Fix. I mean, it talks about online identity management systems. I mean, it's a very serious topic that everyone in the federal government should be concerned about. And what's fascinating about this particular article is a statistic here that comes out. It says that as of December 1st, 2009, 59% had been verified or completed. That seems low. Or is that high? Or what kind of a number is that?
Well, you have to keep in mind that one of the things about HSPD-12 is that it was an unfunded mandate on the part of the federal government. So as a result, agencies had to put in place policies and had to find ways to ensure that they were able to support this really giant leap in credentialing. On top of that, you're also dealing with a very complicated system. And I think what you would see over the course of, you know, essentially those past 8 or 9 months is that there's been a tremendous leap in the amount of credentials that have been issued. For example, the Department of Homeland Security, which was noted as being an organization that needed to make a little bit more progress, has done tremendous work over the course of the past 6 months. A great example of that is when you go through the Dulles Airport and you see the TSA employees, you'll notice that they have an HSPD-12 card.
Ah.
So there's some progress coming
from
DHS. And
consider that ramp up, yeah. I
mean, that's a huge issue.
Yeah, it's big.
And the other is the Department of Veterans Administration. And what's really good news is that we will be seeing them procuring an additional close to 500,000 credentials that they plan to issue to their employees and over 6 month contractors. So there's some big leaps that are going on within the federal community.
This concept of identity is very serious here. Organizations like the IAB, they meet once a month, they talk about it, and they really go into some of the details. There's something called the Smart Card Interagency Advisory Board. Are you a member of that, or what do they do? Do you know about that organization?
The Interagency Advisory Board, it's a very good question, is essentially a group of, I would say, combination technologists, program managers, and who within the federal community, it is led really by the federal government. And on a regular month-to-month basis, they have an open forum to discuss what is going on in identity management, not just simply from a card perspective, but also from a digital certificate perspective, certificate authorities, common access, what's going on, not just within Washington, but with other state, local governments, etc. It's really a way for people to come together and see what is the latest in terms of policy and at the same time programs, which is really a great way to pollinate and cross for other organizations to go forward in their initiatives.
Sure. I was at the Department of State a few weeks back, and they talked about phones in Africa, and they gave me a figure that I was just stunned by. 5 billion handheld phones in the world today. What's the B? 5 billion. Many things are in handheld. Now, you look at the iPad, you look at all these new products out. What about handheld devices? Is that new technology? Is that old technology? Or is that something that Oberthur is working with, or for card readers, I think?
Well, in terms of cell phones themselves, one of the areas of market expertise that Oberthur has is actually issuance of SIM cards.
Ah.
And in fact, we make several hundreds of millions of those every year to cell phone companies all around the world, here in the United States as well. What's really interesting is that there's a huge effort on the part of many of these organizations to take what's called convergence. Convergence is really looking at the interoperability and the essentially bringing together of payment as well as mobile applications for the purposes of e-commerce. At the same time, there's been a lot of interest on the part of many organizations in different parts of the world who are also looking at utilizing the cell phone or the digital device as part of identity verification. And we're going to see a lot more of that. There was a very good pilot that was run actually in Nice, France, just a few months ago, where you saw the usage of payment applications to get on the equivalent of the metro, to pay for things.
Exactly what they're doing in Africa.
Exactly that.
That's kind of fascinating. A lot of different applications for this. You know, when I think of Oberthur, you think of the physical access, but I think your company does so many different things, including credit cards, some different types of smart cards, SIM cards, but also you help with this little thing called middleware many times where you may provide, or Oberthur may provide the card and the reader, but it has to go into a system somehow, and there's assistance you can provide in that area. So if a program manager for an agency is listening to this interview and they're frustrated about to jump out the basement window, and maybe Oberthur should be given a call and say, look, we can assist you in this transition.
Exactly that. One of the focuses that we've had in terms beginning of this year, 2010, the tagline is a different kind of Oberthur. I think that we've been helpful to the federal community in being able to provide the manufacturing and personalization of the cards, but the next step is the actual use. The smart card must be more than a flash pass. And in some cases, unfortunately, that is still the case. But the federal community and program managers are looking at some real methodologies and processes to go beyond that. From a middleware perspective, having the opportunity to be able to log in, sign your email, digitally encrypt, all those sorts of functionalities that middleware can play a key role. And with that is ensuring that there is complete interoperability with card management systems that are also in place. The other piece that Oberthur is really focused on is being able to provide products that merge physical and logical access control, PACS and LACS. And part of that is making sure that we provide credentials that are backwards compatible to old readers that will have to change within a short period of time. That's certainly being pushed by the federal community. So you still have legacy support, but at the same time, you'll be able to move to the smart card for essentially mutual encrypted physical access control.
Patrick, when we get back, I'd like to a little bit deeper dive into PACS and LACS. Nothing to do with lacrosse or peace.
We would hope.
PACS and LACS. And maybe talk about some of the changes that are in store for maybe the card readers for the whole idea of what is exactly on the smart card in the future. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Patrick Hearn, Vice President, Government ID Markets for Oberthur Technologies. If you are listening to this in the middle of the winter and you want to find out more about Oberthur, you can go to oberthur.com. Get all kinds of information about smart cards and managing smart cards. And if you are in town and you want to maybe go to an event in the next couple of months, there's an event coming up called Smart Cards in Government.
That is correct. It will be coming up in mid-November. Mm-hmm. It's an annual conference that's been going for, I think it'll be the fifth year in the Washington area at the Reagan Center. And it really is the coming together of who's who in the smart card industry, not just simply from a private sector perspective, but also really designed for program managers, et cetera, who are looking on how they can use smart cards in the future. So if you want to know what's going on in the federal government in terms of smart cards, as well, really good opportunities to see how you can utilize smart card technology in things like healthcare, which is a huge topic within the United States. I would strongly urge you to stop by and have a view of the sessions and just go around and see what's available in the world of the vendor community.
My daughter's in college, and she and her friends like this guy called David Bowie. And as old as he is, they love him. And he had a song years ago called Changes.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think we can apply that to the world of federal technology. I mean, 5 years ago, HSPD-12 popped in, 5-6 years ago, a lot of changes taking place. I imagine there's going to be changes in the future. We may have the smart cards now that may have to add fields. You may have to add different types of recognition, whether it's thumbprint, iris, voice, I don't know. And so I think that's one of the challenges that maybe the people in this conference will address is, well, we got the smart card system all working. Well, great. Now we have to add something new, voice recognition. I don't know. So it's always going to be a challenge in the next 5 to 6 years, this concept. So it's a very deep subject that applies in many different levels.
I would say so. And the key thing here is what we talked a little bit earlier is about convergence, how to use these smart cards. For example, being able to utilize a CAC card to get onto public transportation in Salt Lake City. Being able to use your PIV card as a way of authentication for access to your own personal health care information. Being able to have payment applications to be able to do banking, etc. These are all things that are critical in terms of the utilization of this sort of technology. I think one of the challenges historically is that people view credentials as being static. And That is really not the case.
Because you get your driver's license, you put it in your wallet. Hey, it's done, right?
Exactly.
Well, it's not.
No. And just as people go out and buy things and change what they want and what they don't want, smart car technology is the same sort of, I would say, evolving type of utilization of tools that people can use for many, many different purposes. And you see that all around the world in different implementations.
Physical access, logical access. When I think of physical access, I think of a tough-looking guy standing at a door. When I think of logical access, I think of someone like me, some little nerd in the back room worrying about HTTP and SSL. I mean, is that what PAX and LAX is all about?
That's essentially it. And probably one of the best ways to look at this is that if you're an organization that puts a lot of value into its intellectual property, the reality is that computer hacking and, you know, I would say malevolent e-commerce is one of the fastest growing forms of crime in the world today. Utilization of this sort of technology to combine, to protect your assets on the computer, which I would view as being almost as important, quite frankly, as being able to know who comes through the door, it has to work in a converged manner. If you run two separate systems, you have basically the easiest point of entry will be the point of entry that people will go to. So you'll see a lot more integration, for example, in the pharmaceutical community, in the oil and gas community, being able to leverage these sorts of smart car technologies as part of an integrated and single-minded approach to security of the organization.
And that's the first step. And what your technology can do is enable the first step and then maybe the next little baby step into the system integration, but this whole idea of consolidating access control. You know, in my world of software development and agile methodology and integrating large systems together, boy, that is really a serious, heavy problem.
Oh, it is. And just as a great example, utilization of your cell phone. How do you, because people use their cell phones also as data storage devices, or one of the things that's coming up is micro SD technology, and being able to have a smart card or a smart chip technology that you can put into the phone to secure the data that is resident on the phone. This is a key issue in terms of business, not just within the federal community, but also...
What if you lose your phone?
Exactly that. You need that micro SD in order to secure the technology.
Just the next 30 seconds, any forecast for where Oberthur is going to be in the next 5 to 6 years?
I think what you're going to see more here in the United States for Oberthur is what we've been doing elsewhere around the world. Oberthur, as I said, is a different kind of Oberthur than what it was 2 years ago. You're going to see a lot more focus in being part of the workflow of organizations. And examples of that is that we've been supporting national identity programs, in fact, running national identity programs for populations of 30 to 40 million and above. Part of this is how can we leverage this type of knowledge that we've gained over the past few years and bring it into the United States. This combined with convergence with payment and mobile applications, which is what we do for a living, I really think will provide a vastly holistic scenario for people who are looking for simply more than just a car.
Simply more than just a car. It certainly is. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Patrick Hearn, Vice President for Government ID Markets for Oberthur Technologies. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you for having me, John. Great to be here.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk. Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Droopy memory, sagging attention span. Sure signs your brain is getting flabby. Time to get it off its medulla oblongata and make it work. Pick up a crossword puzzle. Learn a new song on the piano. Eat your cereal with a spoon in your other hand. Kaiser Permanente reminds you that anything you do out of your routine challenges your lovely lobes. For better memory, clearer thinking, and sharper focus, spend a few minutes a day with some mental gymnastics. Find a new route to work. Recite the alphabet backwards. Grocery shop starting at the other end of the store. Just 10 minutes of these routine breakers can improve your brain's speed, retention, and memory, even help prevent Alzheimer's disease. So do for your brain what you do for your body. Get it up off its behind and build some mind muscle. Check out our brain teaser at kp.org/thrive. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.